Before I get started, I'm going to ask you, did everyone get a recipe for growing church? If you did not, hold up your hands. There's a few. I've got my guys that's going to be going around and giving one of these copies. Reason I put these scriptures on this piece of paper, I want you to take notes on it if you want to. There's pens in the pew. And also, I want you to put this in your Bible or put it somewhere so you can see it. And I want you to read over it two or three times this coming week, okay? There's still some in the back that needs one and some over here, okay? While they're doing that, I'm going to go ahead and get started. I want to give you a little brief summary of the Isaiah 55:11 project. We started in May of 2013, and that was about 4.5 years ago. Since that time, I've went to churches and presented the idea about a gospel tract ministry, and some didn't really want to do it. And that's okay, as long as you're doing something, getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out in your area. There's other churches that I went to, and they liked the idea. They started passing out tracts, but they didn't want to send us their numbers each month. And that's okay, because our main goal is to get as many people as we can to put gospel tracts in other people's hands. There's even people here at Victory that have told me where they put the tracts, but they never sign up to pass them out or let us know how many they pass out each month. And again, that's okay. We want to get the tracts out. But you know, right now, currently, we have 7 churches that's a part of this Isaiah 55:11 project. We have a couple in Kansas that's also working with us. In the last 4.5 years, the ones that have reported, God's blessed us. We've passed out 176,000. Well, we've passed out over 176,000 tracts. To God be glory. One thing that we try to do is put our church label on it. We like to have the people have a chance to go to our website. If they want to know more about salvation, they can find it there. And one thing I'm really excited about 3.5 years ago, we started taping the morning worship services, and Brother Doug, his preaching, and Brother Dale leading us in music is on our website. So if a person wanted to, they could look at all the different sermons and think, you know, I want to learn about this series. And you know, I've had college students that were right in the middle of a series when they went back home for summer break, and they came to me in fall and said, hey, I continue the series. I got them, watched them on the website. I've had people in the foyer. One lady told me recently, said, my mom and dad are sick, and I have to be with them on Sundays, but I watch y'all's service online. And I've had many others miss a service, say, hey, I miss it, but hey, I caught it during the week. And to God be glory. We've had probably 99% of the people that's watched has been in the United States. But believe it or not, there's been some other countries around the world. We have a tool here that we can go around the world taking the gospel to people in every country. This video has been watched 808 hours in the last 3.5 years. That's one area that we want to try to build and get advertisement through tracts and everything. I want to get it out. And I tell you, I really appreciate my SAM ministry. I have a lot of senior adults that meet up here between 9:30 and 11:15, and they put labels on gospel tracts. Sometimes we only have 4 or 5. Last week we had as many as 12. And they have put labels on these gospel tracts, probably done maybe 176,000. And that's been over the last 4.5 years. And some of them are not able to go on mission trips, but they have a heart for missions, and they're helping us, give us the ammunition. So I appreciate this group. One thing I want us to do tonight, though, is pause just a minute. Because we have, with the grace of God, planted a lot of seeds over the last 4.5 years. But tonight, I've asked Brother Doug if he'll come, and we'll ask God to bless these seeds, and we'll bless the seeds that we're going to be putting out, and also bless the video of our Sunday morning service.
Would you stand with me? And let's pray for the outreach of Victory Baptist Church. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, you are God. And we know that of ourselves we can do nothing. But Lord, we know in you all things are possible. So tonight we cry out for you, Lord, for your power, for your strength. We pray, Lord, that you will open doors of opportunity that we may share the gospel throughout the world. I pray, Lord, that you will bless the gospel tracts that have been passed out. That, Lord, you will bless those who have received them. Open their eyes to the message of salvation, Lord. We may never know until we get to heaven how many souls have been saved through that ministry. But Lord, we pray that you will take those tracts and that, Lord, there will be a multitude of souls saved from those tracts that have been passed out. And Lord, we pray for those opportunities in the future. Keep us mindful, Lord, that it's not hard to be a witness for you, to put the tracts in the hands of others. So Lord, open those doors of opportunity. Put it upon our minds and hearts that daily we serve as a living testimony and a living witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for our video ministry. And again, Lord, we know that many people have watched through the years. And Lord, I pray that you'll take what's been washed and used it to save lost souls and to grow, Lord, those who are saved to a maturity in you. And Lord, I pray that you'll continue to open the doors in the future of that ministry, Lord. That it will grow into a great outreach tool. And Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, of serving you. To you be all glory and praise, for you are worthy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. I do want to thank all the ones that put out gospel tracts. We've got a team that goes out, and I'll just share with you a few places we've been the last year. Riverfest in Little Rock, Peace Festival Parade in Clarksville, Bike Blues and Barbecue, the Bike Rally in Fayetteville. Last year, Christmas Parades, we pass out tracts in Russellville, Dardanelle, Paris, Atkins, Fort Smith, and Clarksville, and our goal is to hit even more this next year. We've been this year to Toad Suck Days in Conway, Yell Fest in Darnell, Pickle Fest in Atkins, another bike rally in Fort Smith, and in June we had some passed out at the Buffalo River Elk Festival in Jasper. Folks, I appreciate all the ones that's gone with us and passed out gospel tracts to a lost and dying world. This summer, we've had the best vacation project that we've ever had since I've been here. We had nearly, the best I could tell, about 22 families that participated in this. And can y'all go ahead and put the video up? I have a little presentation. And would y'all like to know where we've been this year? Okay, we can do better than that. Would we like to know where we've been this year?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. Thank you. Tell you what, we covered about 31 states. And I forgot to mention, but you saw like Oregon and Washington was up there with no towns. Some just wrote down their states that they pass out tracts, and some did the cities and states. So that was the difference there. Tonight, I want us to look for just a few minutes on recipe for a growing church. And the scriptures that I'm going to use are the ones that's on this piece of paper. And when I've gone to churches, one thing that I say is one of the most crucial things you have to have is love and unity in your church. Have y'all ever been a part of a church that there was fightings and murmurings and people come in and they feel it? Have you ever been in a church like that? I have. But you know, I'm blessed because to work here at this church has been a huge blessing for me and my family. And you know, many first-time visitors, I'll talk to them and say, well, what do you think of our church? And I hear over and over, man, y'all got love. Man, it's a friendliest church. Man, it's like a family. And folks, if we want to grow, we have to have unity and love. And we're going to start with the first scripture tonight. I want you to look at Acts chapter 2, 46 and 47. Now, this is after the day of Pentecost. It says, and they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. These people were in one accord. There was love. There was unity. And notice the results. People were getting saved. I didn't figure it up this year, but folks, we've had a lot of people in the last 4 years since I've been here that has trusted Christ, that has followed Him in baptism, that's joined our church, that has surrendered to preach. We've got to keep unity in our church. And you know something? There is one thing that scares me, and that is Satan knows the scriptures. He knows a divided house cannot stand. That's why I think it's very important that each one of us tonight, next week, next month, next year, we always look and make sure we have love toward our brothers and sisters. In John 13:35, it says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye have loved one to another. The world is full of chaos. The world is full of turmoil. When I subbed in the school system, so many families were full of fightings and everything you can imagine. So when people come to our church, they need to experience love. It's essential. Notice what John said in John 15:12. It says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now notice, Jesus doesn't say this is my option. We are commanded to love one another. And I want to tell you something. I've always looked at this scripture and thought, man, that's deep. But I never noticed the end of it. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You know what that means? If Brother Doug comes up to me and spits on me, I need to forgive him. If he slaps me, I need to forgive him. If he puts a crown of thorns upon my head, I need to forgive him. If he whips me with a cat of nine tails, I need to forgive him. If he nails me to a cross, I need to say, Father, forgive Brother Doug. He does not know what he's doing. See, Jesus was the ultimate example of love for us. And he didn't command us just to love one another, but he said, as I have loved you. One of my friends back in Pine Bluff, we were talking one day. He said, Ken, why is it in our families, our wife, and my wife and I can get in an argument, my kids can get in an argument, we work through it, but in church work we can't. Folks, that's not the way it should be. If we want for people to know we're Jesus' disciples, we have to show the love. It's not an option. Now, I want to tell you, Satan is going to do everything he can to work on our hearts at some time or another. A church member, brother, sister, may not be in the best mood, and they may answer a way that's not in a Christian way. Or maybe there's something that I may not like, the way some of you may teach your Sunday school class or whatever. But folks, what I have to do is look, is there the love of Christ in their heart, and they're doing the best they can. You know, what they say to me, we cannot allow discord to be filled in our hearts, or our church will suffer. And you may say, well, Brother King, you just don't know what they did to me. Again, look at the love Christ had for us on the cross. But I want you to read Matthew 6, 14 and 15, because there's consequences if we as brothers and sisters do not forgive each other. Look at Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also, what? Forgive you. But, you always notice there's a lot of buts in Scripture. But, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Folks, that's a serious thing. Now, you may say, well, I'm still going to hold this grudge against Brother Ken because he didn't do such and such. Well, let me share this next Scripture with you. Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity or sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You know what I think that's talking about? When we have unconfessed sin, and one of those sins could be an unforgiving spirit, when we pray, God, help my parents because they're sick. Lord, please heal them. I don't believe He's going to hear our prayer. What if our children are traveling? Lord, please be with my children while they go on this trip. I don't think He hears our prayers. Folks, we are commanded. We've got to do it God's way. And one thing that I have to constantly look in my heart, if there's ever any type of root of discord with my brethren, we have to root that out as quick as we can before it gets a stronghold. Because again, we never want to sacrifice the unity in our church and souls being saved. And because Satan knows the Bible, every day, every week, he's going to be trying to hurt our fellowship. Let's not let him get the victory. I'm going to ask Brother David if he'll lead us in a word of prayer so that we will strive to be a loving and caring church.
Lord Jesus, You're so precious to us and we love You, Lord. Tonight in this line, Lord God, we just humble ourselves. Bring our hearts, Lord God, to the lost, Lord God. Bring our hearts to the understanding You have called us here for a purpose. Lord God, as we gather here, Lord God, just sanctifying our hearts, the purpose we come to worship You, to learn of You, and to love one another as You command us to do. Lord, tonight I pray within this church body, we are quickened once again to return to our first love, Lord, and have that joy and excitement to reach out to the lost and dying world. Help us, Lord God, to do those things that are right in Your sight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Another important ingredient that we must have is we've got to plant the seeds. When you see farmers in the spring, you don't see them sitting on their porch with their feet up thinking, boy, I sure hope I have a good harvest. You see them out there breaking up the ground, getting it ready to plant the seeds. In Mark 16, 15, Jesus told us, He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. This is another command that you and I are commanded to do. Whether we give a gospel tract to someone, I've had people say, well, Brother Ken, passing out gospel tracts, I just don't have a desire to do that. Well, that's okay. Give them a copy of the Word of God. Do what the Gideons do. Give them New Testaments. Give them the book of Romans or the Gospel of John. Or share what Jesus Christ has done for you. Ask them if they know if they were to die, where they'd spend eternity. Tell them how you came to know Christ. Folks, there's many ways to get the gospel out, but we're commanded to do something. If you look at 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 9, Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. You know, when we plant the seeds, when we water the seeds, we're nothing. Why? Because it's God that gives the increase, and he's the one that should receive the honor and glory. Read on. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Go back to that verse 8. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. If you are saved, and let's say if we had to stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ tonight, would you be getting a very big reward for sharing the gospel with others? Now, folks, if you might be a little embarrassed at the reward you get, we can't change the past, but starting tonight, we can change the future. And that's what I hope you will do. See, Jesus had a goal in Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came here to die on the cross, be buried, and rise again so that we could have eternal life. But while he was here, he was doing everything he could so that people would live with him for all eternity. Let me ask you, is that your goal in life? When you wake up in the morning, when you pray, do you ask God, Lord, help me to witness to the one or ones that you want me to today? When you're going through your day, whether you're at work or school or wherever you are you looking for opportunities to share the gospel? Sometimes over the years, I've heard excuses why people don't share the gospel. Some, well, they're ashamed to do it. They don't want to make people mad and all that. But look at the next scripture. Luke 9:26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and the holy angels. Now I'm going to tell you, I don't know what that means. I just know when I was a kid, a teenager, I did something that really embarrassed my dad and he was ashamed of me. That hurt. Could Jesus tell us that he's ashamed of us at the judgment seat of Christ? Could it be just us face to face, or could it be in front of all the other believers? I don't know. But my friend, we never need to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. He wasn't scared to give his life for us on the cross, die a cruel death. We should never, never be ashamed to share our faith with others. Some say, well, Brother Ken, I just don't feel comfortable doing it. Again, let me take you to the cross. And before the cross, the crown of thorns, the cat of nine tails, and finally being crucified to the worst form of Roman torture that's ever been devised. You think Jesus was out of his comfort zone? Yeah. A lot of times people, when they see that maybe they need boldness, they should do what the next scripture says. Matthew 7, the beginnings of verse 7 and verse 8. Ask and it shall be given you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. Maybe we need to be praying for boldness. Another scripture, or another reason people give sometimes, well, I don't know what to say. Again, why not ask Jesus, Lord, give me the words to be the witness that I need to be. You know, I'm afraid that many believers are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And should Jesus ask us, why didn't you witness for me more? I'm afraid they're going to give the excuse, well, I was ashamed, or I didn't know what to say, or I didn't want to make people mad, or I felt uncomfortable. And I think we might think Jesus is just going to pat us on the head. Oh, well, my child, that's okay. But folks, if we don't share the gospel, who's going to do it? What percentage of Russville is here in our worship service to hear the Sunday morning messages when Brother Doug talks about salvation? I saw a statistic. a few years ago, 95% of all believers who profess to be Christians have never shared the gospel with anybody. And now the 5% that have shared the gospel, only 2% have actually led someone to Christ. Tonight, my goal is, if you're not where you need to be in sharing your faith, then folks, you can't change the past, but you can start tonight. Let's have prayer. Lord Jesus, help us so that we will have the same desire and passion that you had for us, God. And Lord, I know if there was a little kid out in the home parking lot tonight, and if everyone here saw that the car, a car was put in reverse and fixing to back up and the little kid was going to get run over, I know everyone would do everything to try to run and snatch the kid from danger, or maybe get the driver's attention and get them to slam on brakes. Lord, help us have the same passion in our community, in our state, in our nation, in the world, God. Help us so that we'll be hungry to see souls saved. And Lord, I ask you to just help us so that we'll be concerned with the ones around us, that we know that if they die, they're going to be spending eternity in hell. Help us so that we'll have the passion to reach out and try to tell them about the gospel, the good news, and how that if they trust you as Savior, that they can spend eternity in heaven, Lord. I ask you to just be with us. Forgive us, Lord, the opportunities we've missed, God, but help us beginning tonight so that we'll be actively sharing our faith, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, tonight I need your help, and I'm winding it up now. We're going to be having a fall festival downtown Russellville the last Saturday of October. And we need people to work our booth. We're going to be passing out tracts. We're going to be giving salvation bracelets. And we're going to be having a good time fellowshipping with each other while we're sharing the gospel. If you can help us tonight, Miss Iris Ferguson is going to be at our booth. We want you to come sign up for a time slot. Also this year, we're going to have one of the largest Halloween outreaches we've ever had. You know, that's the easiest time to share the gospel. You have boys and girls that come to your house and they want candy. Well, why not give them a gospel tract? Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is far greater than any sweet candy that they can have. You know, this year we've got some new motion tracts. They're really cool. Young people will love them. We've got a few out there on the table. I'll have more this week. Go ahead and load up. If you'd like to help us with our Halloween project, fill out that little form, and we'd love for you to get as many packets of gospel tracts as you can. And also, if you have more than 100, 150 that come by your house, see me later. I've got a special project for you, okay? I know Malia and them, they've let me use their house the last few years. We had nearly 400, and Cheryl, I think she had the record last year. She had over 400 trick-or-treaters, and she was only prepared for 400, you know? What we give them is a gospel sack, which has two tracks, four pieces of candy in it. And, you know, I had one kid come up to me at school, and he said, "You gave me one of those gospel sacks on Halloween night." And no, it was Christmas parade. We do that for Halloween and Christmas. And he said, "I read what was in it, and that was good stuff." And I gave him a thumbs up. I had another girl that I gave to on Halloween night, the gospel sack, and I told her to read what was in it. She came to me the following Thursday morning. She said, "You know, I want you to know that I trusted Christ as my Savior by reading a gospel tract. And you told me to read this one, and I went home that night and I read it and I rededicated my life to Christ." Folks, God's Word will not return to a void. He'll accomplish what He wants and He'll prosper every time. And the last area I need help, if you like to walk and you would love to help us in one of our Christmas parades, we're going to try to do more Christmas parades than we've ever done. And I know many of you have helped me. There's a sign-up list. On that list, it just says, Can you help? You write your name and phone number, and I'll get with you. You may just want to help the Rustville Parade, and there may be some others you want to help, but I'll be contacting you. So if you can sign up after this, I would sure appreciate it. The last thing I want to do tonight is, I heard this song several years ago, and it really touched my heart. And I asked Sister Beth if she would sing this tonight. Each one, reach one.
Is unchanging. Go ye into all the world